Many elected officials were sworn into new roles today. In Washington, Valerie Fouché will be sworn in as soon as the Republicans can figure out who their Speaker of the House is going to be. They'll swear in the freshman class of the U.S. Congress, and that will include our very own Valerie Fouché. Yesterday in Hillsborough, Jeff Niemann was sworn in as the district attorney for Chatham and Orange counties. He replaces longtime D.A. Jim Woodall, and Niemann will be just the fourth D.A. that the district has seen in its 40-year history since splitting with Alamance. Niemann's not exactly new blood for this position either. He's worked for the DA's office in some capacity since 2004. Congratulations to Jeff and to all of our newly elected public officials. Some other shakeups in town government. Chapel Hill now has a brand new police chief, and she is the town's first female police chief in its history. Salisa Lehu took over on January 1st for retiring Chief Chris Blue, who was not able to retire for long, as he becomes the new interim town manager for Chapel Hill as they begin a national search for a long-term person to fill that position. Meanwhile, the new year brings the implementation of some new state laws as well. The most immediately noticeable is a 2 cent per gallon gas tax hike. There's also a new law requiring the governor to get approval from other state leaders before extending statewide emergencies beyond 30 or 60 days. And the State Utilities Commission on Friday issued an order directing Duke Energy to take steps to reduce carbon emissions by 70% in the next 7 years. Much to the chagrin of many environmental advocates, they did not offer guidance on how to do that. Environmental groups were hoping for requirements limiting the use of non-renewable sources such as fossil fuels. That was not included in the guidance. Duke's plan relies heavily on the burning of natural gas. Chapel Hill police tell us of a missing person. 71-year-old Russell Grant Corvey was last seen on December 21st in the 800 block of Pritchard Avenue Extension. If you have any information about his whereabouts, please contact Chapel Hill police. Another start-of-the-year tradition here in town is the getting rid of those Christmas trees from the holidays. Town crews will be picking up holiday trees and wreaths for mulching on the regular yard trimmings collection schedule. Reminder of what that is. Single-family residences who get their trash picked up on Monday will have their yard trimmings collected on Thursday, and the schedule on Friday for those with Tuesday trash collections. We go now to another pedestrian fatality reported from last week, Thursday evening on MLK near Taylor Street. That's just north of Estes. A pedestrian, 63-year-old Christian Albert Ball, was struck by a vehicle and died at UNC hospitals later on. Police are still investigating. We learned from Habitat for Humanity of Orange County that they are now accepting applications for home ownership of townhomes and duplexes in the Weaver's Grove development. That development is a first-of-its-kind mixed-income community in Chapel Hill. Habitat acquired the first parcel of land for this development all the way back in February of 2002. They've slowly added more parcels over the last couple decades, culminating in October of 2021 when they broke ground on the Weaver's Grove development. So 20 years in the making, volunteers will begin construction at Weaver's Grove in the early summer of this year. And Habitat's homeowner services team is accepting those applications for the first cycle of home buyers from today through January 17th. And Habitat will be building in Weaver's Grove for 5 years, so there will be more opportunities for folks to apply for a Habitat home in this neighborhood. Still in Chapel Hill now, where many senior and elderly folks live in the town, and that means that this community is having a hard time navigating the challenges of caregiving, just like many communities across the U.S., as the elder care industry is in need of more people in its workforce. In Chapel Hill, one startup is exploring an option to close the gap while also empowering college students. Carolina Connection's Sophie Mallinson has this report.
Groups like the National Academy of Medicine have recommendations for state policies that could support and prepare caregivers to help loved ones. Kent co-authored a study that ranked the 50 states and District of Columbia based on how many of these recommendations were met. In North Carolina?
It's bad. It's really bad.
We're 49th. About 18% of North Carolinians reported acting as a caregiver for a friend or family member with a health problem or disability in 2019. But caregivers across the state and country are struggling. An AARP report found about 60% of caregivers feel some form of financial strain in caring for a loved one. And 1 in 4 feel that caregiving has worsened their own health.
Sometimes family members feel really, really burdened and overwhelmed, and not because of their loved one's fault, but because there aren't widespread institutional supports for them to be able to take a break.
But the solution isn't as simple as hiring a care provider from a private company. One study found that of the people who are 65 and older who don't have Medicare, 74% of them could afford home care for 2 years if they liquidate all their assets. This is another aspect of the care gap. People who want care can't afford it. But on Franklin Street, a startup backed by Innovate Carolina is working to close that gap. Care Yaya formally launched earlier this year to provide a new approach to elder care. To founder Neil Shah,
the simplest way to describe it would be like Uber meets care.com.
Using their website, you say where, when, and what care is needed, and a college student with Care Yaya can accept the request. Care Yaya grew out of Shah's own caregiving experiences. He first cared for his grandparents, and then later his wife after a cancer diagnosis. Caring for his loved ones required taking work sabbaticals that were just unsustainable without help.
At that point in my life, I became extremely obsessed with the caregiving problem. I observed throughout just weeks and weeks at the hospitals how many people were dealing with this problem on their own.
Care Yaya is meant to be mutually beneficial. The startup accepts 20% of caregiving applicants, and these are students with intentions to go to things like med school. To get into med school, they should have at least 100 hours of clinical experience, and care students provide through Care Yaya would count toward that. And students work on average for $15 an hour, making home care more affordable for those who need it. Many of Care Yaya's patients come from nurses' referrals, but the help elders need isn't always medical in nature. Many just need help with daily activities of living, getting in and out of bed, making meals, or just companionship. It's these services, not medical ones, that students provide. Students like UNC senior Leah Warnke.
A lot of the support the elderly need can be done by just a caring individual, which you will find in a lot of college students.
Warnke's been working with Care Yaya since April, and she's provided care for those with dementia and Parkinson's disease, often being told she reminds them of their grandchild.
There's the aspect of providing physical care, but also it's very much they just want someone to talk to, just listening to them talking about their ailments and their pain. And so it is amazing to be able to see a burden being lifted from someone just by them telling you about their problem.
The experience has changed Warnke's own career goals, from wanting to do pediatrics to now wanting to change healthcare on a policy level. And there's a lot of room for change. When Professor Aaron Kent thought of caregiving, she recalled a meeting with writer Jason Karlowish.
He described caregiving as the oldest profession because, you know, we're a species that cares about one another.
And Care Yaya aims to be a new solution to challenges that have been centuries in the making. In Chapel Hill, I'm Sophie Mallinson.
Carolina Connection is a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media. They've wrapped up their shows for the fall semester, but many more of their stories can be heard on carolinaconnection.org, and Carolina Connection will be back on 97.9 The Hill this spring. It's time now for sports, and looking to the world of sports, it wasn't an ideal weekend to be a fan of UNC basketball. It was a 3-loss weekend for the men's and women's teams combined. We will start with the women's team, who have now dropped 3 in a row. They lost 2 since we last spoke. Thursday, they fell 78-71 to Florida State. Then 68-65, they lost to Virginia Tech on Sunday. Deja Kelly led the team in scoring in both of those games with 20 and 21. And as I said, that's 3 losses in a row for Courtney Banghart's squad, but she is staying positive. Here she is just after the loss to Virginia Tech.
Yeah, what a great college basketball game. You know, we've had so many good battles with Virginia Tech. Here was another one. We're fighting better than we were before Christmas. I felt like that Michigan game has really turned our corner in terms of how hard we have to play and the physicality that the game provides. And I continue to see improvement from my group, and it's hard to win on the road in the ACC. And we'll keep fighting. We got another chance on Thursday night.
Coach Courtney Banghart there. The Heels fell to number 22 in the AP rankings this week. Not much better on the men's side either. They fell on the road to Pitt. They did only lose by 2, but it was after they squandered a late 9-point lead. en route to the loss. After the game, Coach Hubert Davis was clearly disappointed in his team's lack of defensive execution down the stretch.
Well, you know, it's all about, you know, executing on both ends of the floor, not for the majority of the game, but for the entire game. And first of all, you have to congratulate Pittsburgh. You know, they made the plays that they needed to make. It's hard to beat any team when you allow them to get 42 points in the paint. That's been an emphasis for us. And at the end of the day, you've got to get defensive stops. You've got to rebound. You've got to execute on the defensive end, and we just didn't do that.
Head coach Hubert Davis there after a tough loss on the road at Pitt. We got some other bad news from the basketball team also. We learned that Will Shaver will be out for the season after foot surgery. There was some good news, however. Four-star center James Brown out of Chicago has committed to the Heels for the class of 2024. 6'9 Brown is ranked as the 27th best player in his class nationally by 24/7 Sports. This comes after last week's commit from five-star point guard Elliot Cadeau, and they both join four-star forward Drake Powell out of Pittsburgh to make up what 24/7 Sports currently calls the number one recruiting class in the nation for the class of 2024. As for this year's squad, they're back at it tomorrow evening against Wake Forest. That is a 9 p.m. tip-off. You can hear that game right here on 97.9 The Hill, your flagship station for Carolina sports.